This morning, I'm using a sermon that I did a long, long time ago. I didn't find out until pretty late last night, and I was actually out of town, so I had to pull one that I've used before, but it's been many years, so I redid it. It was kind of like, it reminded me of college. I was like I was cramming for finals. I wasn't real good at that, so hopefully this goes better. Hopefully this goes a little smoother, but we're going to talk a little bit about time. So I had asked Bruce to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, because it talks about the fact that to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. And time is a very important concept to man. Okay? People talk a lot about the value of their time. Okay? They feel that their time is something that they don't have enough of. We often complain about the fact that I wish there were more hours in a day. There's just not enough hours to get everything done. A lot of people get paid based on the amount of time they spend on a task. That's how much we value time. That's what we use to pay people. And while others complain that they spend a lot of time on their job doing things they don't get paid for. So sometimes we don't like it that we spend a lot of our time and we feel we don't get compensated fairly for that. You know, as youngsters, we tend to think that time moves slowly. I can remember thinking that, you know, summer vacation from school was never going to get there. It's just never going to happen. And now, as we get older, it seems like time just keeps speeding up. It's just gone before you know it. And it's just kind of bothersome to us as we get older about how fast time does pass, because we look back at things. We consider things in the past. We think about the things that we would like to do in the future. And we struggle getting the things done in the present that we want to get done. And so time is really important to us. But if you think about something, time is a concept that is unique to man. Okay? In case you hadn't noticed, animals don't wear watches. They don't run around with their calendars scheduling when they're going to do things. They don't make appointments. So time doesn't really matter to them. They do have some sense of it. The cat knows exactly when it is he's supposed to get fed. I don't know how he knows it, but he knows, because he starts pestering me right at that time that, okay, get up, feed me. But it's not because he's got a watch or a schedule, right? You know, the other thing we need to remember is God is not constrained by time. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. God is not constrained by time. He always was. He always will be. It's one of the things about God that is really hard for us to get our heads around. Because time is such a big part of what we do that we think of everything as having a beginning and an end with something in the middle, right? Well, God doesn't have that. God is not constrained by time. The other thing that we need to remember is that for man, time is a limited resource. You know, one of the things that weighs heavy on man is that we are mortal. We know we aren't going to live forever, but we don't know how long we're going to live or when we're going to die. Several years ago, I preached a sermon titled Your Dash. And the point of that sermon was the fact that if you go to a cemetery and you look at headstones, there's a date, two dates. There's the date that somebody was born. There's the date that somebody died. If you think about it for a moment, neither of those dates did that person have any influence on. Had no choice in them. Out of their control. The only part that controlled was the dash in the middle. The life that we live between the time we're born and the time that we die. So, what defines that person is how they used that time. What did they do with the time that they were allotted here upon this earth? That's what defined them. Well, you know, regardless of how wealthy you are or famous, there's still only 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour, and 60 seconds in a minute. You can't buy more. I don't care how much money you've got. You just can't do it. You can't make any choices about when that beginning date is or when that ending date is. It's all out of our control. Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10 reminds us, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. We're all going to die. We might live 70, 80, 90. My grandmother lived to be 100 years old. But you know what? It's still not eternity. It still had a defined end. And so we need to remember that. We need to remember that it is a limited resource. We only have so much of it. And so we need to make the most of that. And we don't want to waste it. You know, we just talked about how valuable it is. When things are valuable, we try to take care of them. We try to not waste them. We try not to waste our money. But we don't want to waste our time either. Because if we use it unwisely, we never get it back. There is no rewind. You know, we've gotten used to in life, you know, if you're watching a TV show and you miss something, you can take it back. That DVR is a great thing, right? You rewind it. What did they say? Well, I don't know. Rewind it and listen. Did you see that? Rewind it. Watch it again. Life doesn't have a rewind button. You don't get to go back and do it over. That's not how it works. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version for this. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. And the thing about the days being evil, what is meant by that is that they're difficult. There are lots of things in life, our time upon this earth, that can be distraction, that can be difficult. So we can't let those things distract us, because if we do, we're not making the best use of our time. And that's what we're warned that we need to do. Well, you know, there are three basic periods of time in our lives. There's the past, the things that we've already experienced, the things that we've already done, the decisions that we've made, the choices that have made. There's the present, right now, right this very second. We get that. And then we hope for a future, the things that we plan for in the future, we hope for, the things we look forward to, right? How we make use of these periods of time can help or hinder us as a Christian. Each one requires something different of us. And we need to think about those just a little bit, and that's where I want to spend the majority of our time this morning. The past can be a hindrance if we focus on what we had before being a Christian. Because if we look back, we're showing that we still value the things of the world. Genesis chapter 19. Particularly, we find this in verses 17 and verse 26, but it's the story of Lot and his wife and his family. And Lot had been told he needed to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He needed to get out of there. Well, he lingered, it says. So the men, the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, they said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So they were told, get away. Do not look back. There's nothing back there worthy of you being concerned about. You need to move forward. You need to get away from this before it consumes you. Well, in verse 26, it says, but his wife looked back from behind him and became a pillar of salt. She looked back. Now, we're never really told exactly why she looked back. But you got to think she looked back because there are things back there that she didn't want to see gone. Things that she remembers she had. Friends that maybe she had. So, rather than focusing on what she needed to do going forward, she let the things in the past pull her back. And when she turned back, she was disobedient to God, and she was turned to a pillar of salt. The warning to us there is that we can't be looking back wishing we still had that we had before becoming a Christian. Because the things we had before we were Christian are like Sodom and Gomorrah. They're things of this world. We shouldn't be looking back towards those. If we are looking back, we aren't focused on God. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Anymore, when farmers go out to farm, they're using GPS. So they end up with nice straight rows. That isn't the way it used to be. It used to be that a farmer had to pick a fence post, pick something that they looked at and they aimed at. And you went straight towards that. You stayed focused on it. And if you did, you'd end up with a relatively straight row. But if you were looking around, looking behind, and not staying focused, you ended up with a pretty wavy row. My grandfather never paid real great attention to anything. He just kind of like would easily distract him. So his rows were always very crooked. And he liked to tell me, well, I did that on purpose. You can get more in a crooked row than you can a straight row. Like, yeah, Granddad, I don't think that's exactly why you did that. It's because you just weren't paying attention, right? Well, that's the concept here. If we take on a task, we need to stay focused on that task. We can't keep looking backwards. Because if we look backwards, we start to wander away. We can get distracted. We can get lost. And if we do that with God, we finally find our way getting further and further away from God. And that's not good. We can't allow the past, the things that have happened in the past, to cause us to turn away from God. The other thing that we've got to be careful about is not being able to move beyond the mistakes we've made in the past. You know what? We have all done things we wish we hadn't done. Some of them are big, some of them are little. We've said things we wish we hadn't said. We've made decisions we wished we hadn't made. We've done things we wished we hadn't done. Sometimes people have a hard time forgiving themselves of the mistakes that they've made. A perfect example of that is Matthew chapter 25 or 27, verses 3 through 5. And this is Judas. It says that, then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas made a mistake. He made a bad choice. And once it was made, he regretted it. And he kept looking back at it, and he wanted to try to undo it. Well, there's a lesson for us, folks. We can't undo decisions we've made, choices we've made, things we've said. We can't undo them. We can't undo the past. It is what it is. The biggest mistake that Judas made was he let that define him. He hung himself. He killed himself rather than repenting and allowing God to forgive him. God has said that he's willing to forgive us. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As horrible a thing as it is that Judas did, God would have forgiven him. God has that willingness, and that's what he wants. He doesn't want anybody, Judas included, to fail. But Judas was too wrapped up in the past and not looking to the future. Not looking to what was coming, what he had been taught by Jesus. He became overwhelmed with it and he couldn't forgive himself. Couldn't move beyond that mistake. And that's sad. How many other people have done that? How often do we do that to ourselves? We don't allow ourselves to move on. Repent. Pray to God. Ask for his forgiveness and know that he is a just God. And if we truly have repented, he said he'll forgive us. What a glorious thing that is. Something that we should be truly, truly thankful for. The other thing is the past is if we can't forgive others of their past mistakes. We talked this morning about Jacob and Esau. It was an interesting discussion because Jacob pulled some pretty dirty things on Esau. Took away his birthright, took away his blessing. We talked about the fact that Esau could have been consumed by that. He could have just never forgiven Jacob. But 20 years later, when they come together, Esau acted like it had never happened. Because he had forgiven. He'd forgotten about it. Well, you know what? God won't forgive us if we won't forgive others. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We've got to show the same behavior that we expect God to give to us. The sins that we commit are much, much worse than anything we could ever do to anybody on this earth. But God is willing to forgive us. God would have forgiven Judas. But we've got to be willing to forgive others, to forget the past. That's hard. That's hard. Some people have really long memories. And it's hard to let go of the past, of things that have happened to us. We also need to remember that it doesn't matter how many times they make the mistake. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter's like, how many times I got to let somebody do bad to me before I don't have to forgive them? And the Lord's answer was seven times 70. And it was not 490. That wasn't the idea. The idea was as many times as they repent, as many times as they ask for your forgiveness, you need to forgive them. Got to have short memories. We can't let the past linger and cause us to not forgive others, because if we do, we won't get the forgiveness that we need. But you know, the past can be beneficial. Number one, it reminds us of what God has done for us. Why do we study the Old Testament? Because it's an example for us. It tells us of how God reacts to things. It shows us things that have happened in the past that we can relate to and apply to our lives, and it shows how God responded to those things. That's what the past is all about. We need to focus on all that he has done. Psalm 105, verses 4 and 5. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember this. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember his marvelous works. You know, every time we look out in the morning and we see the sunrise, we should think about what we've learned about the creation. All of that came about because God made it. The food that we have to eat. Hopefully we've learned from the past that that came from God. That he's provided for us. We need to remember that he's given us a hope of salvation. We just partook of the Lord's Supper. Why do we do that? To help us to remember. To remember something that occurred in the past. That being the fact that Jesus was willing to offer himself up as a perfect sacrifice. To give his life that we might have hope of eternal salvation. We need to remember that. That's why God instituted the Lord's Supper. It's a reminder to us. So that we don't take it for granted. We've got to learn from the past. The past is very beneficial to us if we look at it and say, what can I learn so that I can be better going forward? That's what the past is really best for. We can learn from our experiences. You know, they're painful sometimes. Our experiences can be very painful. But Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 tell us, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. All those things that we wish we didn't have to deal with in life are teaching us lessons. We learn to respond to things in an appropriate way. We learn from our mistakes if we pay attention to them. And it makes us stronger. It makes us better servants of God. That's why they're there. But you've got to remember, I've done this before. This has happened before. What did I learn from? If we don't learn from it, then it's just painful. Because there's nothing to be gained from it. If you keep making the same mistake over and over and over again, that's just painful. But if you make the mistake and you learn and you grow from it, that's a wonderful thing. That's actually a gift of God. That's what Romans chapter 5 is trying to tell us. We should glory in those things. We should be thankful for those things. The present can be a hindrance if we focus on worldly desires. We can't let anything be more important to us than God. Luke chapter 18, verses 22 and 23. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Rich young ruler. He wanted to know what it takes to serve God. He listed off all these wonderful things he did, and Jesus says, "Yeah, doing a good job. One more thing. Go sell all your possessions." He went away sorrowful. Why? He was still focused on the things of this world. God wasn't the most important thing. He was struggling between God and the world. There was this tension, this fight going on in his mind. Well, God has told us we can't serve him and the world. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot have it both ways. We've got to pick a side. Can't sit on the fence. One side or the other. Are you with God or aren't you? That's really the question that has to be made. Well, as we're going through life, those are decisions we have to make so very often. Something comes up and we've got to make a decision. Do I do what's right, or I do what the world wants me to do? What am I going to do? There was a scene in a movie that I just cracked up about. An RV, he's driving along and the GPS tells him to turn right, and his wife says to turn left. And his wife looks at him and says, "Who are you going to listen to? Me or her?" And he panicked and ran straight into something because he couldn't make up his mind which way he was going. But you know what? Life's like that. Who are you going to listen to? The world or God? Which is it going to be? You know what? The other problem about the present is we can get caught up in the cares of the world. Satan uses the cares of the world as a distraction. All the problems that come up, what do? They take up our time. They take up our time. That's what's always on our mind. Well, if we're always thinking about the troubles, what aren't we thinking about? We're not thinking about God. That's what Satan wants to do. So if he knows that you're going to get wrapped up in it, he's just going to keep throwing it that way. Because it works. And if it works, you keep doing it. Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Think about that. The parable of the soils. Sown among thorns. The thorns are the things of this world, the distractions, the cares. And if we're not careful, they win. Have you ever planted a garden and have it taken over by weeds? Weeds are amazing. They can grow in any kind of soil. They don't need any rain. You can be out there trying to water your flowers to keep them alive, and those weeds just keep going and going and going. They don't give up. Satan doesn't give up. And those are distractions, right? Those are distractions. And they can choke out the word. They can cause us to forget about God, because we get so wrapped up in that, we just forget. Well, if we become distracted, we can find ourselves unprepared for the judgment. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. We started talking about the fact that we don't know when we're going to die. I have no idea. We can't plan for it. But we can get so wrapped up that that day comes, and all of a sudden we find out we're not prepared. Remember the story of the 10 virgins? 5 of them had everything they needed. They were prepared. And when the bridegroom came, they entered in. The other 5, what? They weren't prepared. They got caught up in everything else, didn't prepare themselves, and it came. And by the time they could go back and try to get themselves taken care of, they're told it's too late. The door's shut. There's no entering in. There's no rewind. If we're not prepared when the day of judgment comes, we're going to lose. We're going to lose our soul. What are the benefits of the present? Well, it's beneficial if we focus on spiritual things. Spiritual things must always be more important than the things of this earth. Matthew 6, verses 20 and 21. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's where we need to focus. Our salvation needs to be our primary focus. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Focus on our salvation. That's what the present is for. Serving God. So what about the future? Well, the future can be a hindrance if we forget that tomorrow is not certain. We need to worry about making the best of each day. Matthew 6 and verse 34, just following the verses we just read. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Can't get so wrapped up in the future that we forget about today. We can't get caught up in things that don't matter. Luke chapter 12, verses 20 through 21 talks about the man who had a really great harvest. And he started making plans of what he was going to do in the future with everything he had. And the response was, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Think about that for a moment. We can get caught up in things that don't matter. Make plans for things that aren't going to help us in eternity. We've got to be careful about what future plans we try to make. And then we can't procrastinate. We can't put off for tomorrow what should be done today. We need to prepare while we have the chance. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 10, we just talked about the 10 virgins. Make sure you're taking care of what needs taken care of today, because when that day comes, there's no going back. You've got to be prepared. Make plans for your eternity. You know, the future is truly beneficial if we remember that that is where our hope is. Sometimes we lose track of that, but that's what we need to stay focused on. We have to have patience. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season shall we reap if we faint not. We just got to keep working. Keep plugging along. staying focused on that hope that we have. And we've got to continue to press forward. Paul told them, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul tells them, there's a lot of things I don't know, but one thing I do know. I got to forget what's behind me, and I've got to focus on my eternal salvation. Well, that's true of all of us. Are you using your time to your benefit? Do you remember what God has done for you? Have you learned from your past experiences? Are you focusing on spiritual things? Are you preparing for eternity? Are you ready to take advantage of the hope that God has supplied? Now's the time to make things right with God. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you're not prepared for eternity. You're not looking to the future in the way you should. You're still stuck in the past. If you have obeyed the gospel, but you're not doing the things that you should do, you've lost track of that hope. You've lost track of where your focus should be. You're looking behind, you're looking to the left, you're looking to the right. You're not focused on what is coming and what is truly important. Now is the time to make that right, because now is that opportunity. We don't know tomorrow is ever going to come. There's just no guarantee of a tomorrow. We don't know the next hour is going to come. Don't delay. If we can help anyone in any way this morning, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and while we sing.